So I don't know if you all have seen it. As the time of recording this, it has been 1 day since the Fallout live action series has come out. I've only seen one episode so far, but it's pretty good.
I had absolutely no idea that was coming out. And my soon-to-be brother-in-law asked me, he's like, what do you think of the Fallout? You played a bunch of that, right? I was like, what?
But you didn't know that was coming out at all?
No, not until a couple days ago.
Oh my god.
I knew it was coming out, I just didn't know when.
I've heard it's got really good praise.
I wasn't
really going to watch it, or I wasn't like clamoring to, but now I'm like, seems good.
Yeah. So go ahead.
Has Cal watched it?
Yeah. Of course he has. Yeah.
Okay, I was just curious.
Dumbass?
Me and Cal, my brother-in-law, your brother, will be watching the whole thing together. Yeah.
Nice. Oh, that's beautiful.
So
where's the streaming?
And by the way? It's on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Like I said, I'm only speaking from one episode, but this definitely feels like, so far, that the writers knew what Fallout was about and did it well. So if you watch the first episode, you'll kind of they sort of build up everybody's like backstory, and like, you know, eventually we'll probably see the three main characters meet up. But the characters feel well written. I like their motivations. Obviously, visually, it's like very, very well done. Like the way that the whole aesthetic of like the main character Lucy, who comes from the vault, she's one of the people that she leaves the vault for obviously a reason. But like the way that they film a lot of stuff that happens in the vault is just so good, because it all has that hard steel with the curved edges, the tight jumpsuits with the blue and yellow. It's just like they did such a good job on the visuals, and that just makes it 10 times better that the writing is actually like pretty good so far.
Is one of the main bad guy characters a guy named Vinny with a leather jacket and blue jeans?
No, I will say, unfortunately, they don't have a Tunnel Snake group in the vault.
Tunnel Snakes rule.
Wasted.
Tunnel Snakes forever.
Tunnel Snakes rule.
I never played the games. I'm sure they're good.
Dude, if you have a pretty good PC now, go buy Fallout 3 for like $5 or whatever it is.
Or Fallout New Vegas.
Vegas is good too.
It depends. So like, if you want a very good like story, like gripping emotional story, play Fallout 3. Fallout New Vegas is definitely more fun. Like there's like more crazy shit to do in that game, and it's newer, so it obviously has like improved mechanics and stuff. But this is back when Bethesda was good.
And you get to play a tough, rough guy in Vegas who goes, meh.
One day when I have time to play video games, I'll try to remember it.
Well, I tell you, Brock will love it when you eventually start playing, because you like shoot people and they explode into smithereens. It's great. Now, here's my question. So, this is sort of a sequel, let's say, from our adaptation banter a while ago. What video game series would you like to see turned into a TV series? Some of them were good.
Can I get a live-action version of LEGO Star Wars, please?
Yes. Just an animated one. They did it for Batman. They did a LEGO Batman movie.
Was it an anime or something?
No. I don't think they ever have done that before. What?
I think there could be some money here.
John? Write this down.
Write this down
right now.
They can just make it a short.
Write this down.
They can make it a live action Lego short where it's actually just like people in suits just doing like Lego stuff.
They did do a Lego Star Wars holiday special.
Yes, they did. They probably did that to replace the old Star Wars special.
You think George is still proud of it?
Probably. He's probably weird.
Well, you know, I didn't really think it was that bad. I thought it was pretty
cool. The Ewoks were so cute.
The one that he tried to scrub away from the world, and everyone keeps like, no, it exists.
Harrison Ford refuses to talk about it to this day.
George, we're never letting you forget it.
If you're listening to this podcast,
you're listening,
never
George,
live it down.
We know.
George, friend of the pod.
George Lucas, friend of the pod.
Weirdly still has a better Rotten Tomatoes score than The Last Jedi.
Ouch. Ow.
Well, it's the kind of interesting, because you said video game series into a TV show. I could do, how about video game into a movie?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. Video game into movie, a 10 out of 10 would be Omori. It translates well to live action or anime. Mm-hmm. Like, you could easily do either. Because, man, for, like, those who haven't played the game, like, the twist in the story is so, so shocking.
Okay.
Like, I have never been so surprised in a game. Like you talk about, like, 10 out of 10, like, betrayals. Like, it's not, like, a betrayal of the character. It's, like, a betrayal of the audience.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, it's just, like, the game starts out extremely intense, and mm-hmm. then it's, like, really cute, and then... And then things get real. Yeah.
And then the really cute character says, and I don't remember the guy's name, but it's like, "War never changes."
War never changes. War never changes.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Omo Cat, we gotta make this into an anime or live action. It's just my people will talk to your people.
Friend of the pod developer. I'm okay.
We're just all say friend of the pod for everything at this point.
Everyone we mentioned today is a friend of the pod. Go ask me.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, I was going through, like, a lot of different ideas, mm-hmm. but actually one, because I'm playing more horror games right now.
Okay.
And sort of this is a horror. I mean, it was, like, when you first enter, but BioShock.
Ooh.
That's hard to beat.
Just because the Art Deco style, I mean, the high DS of 1940s, and just an underwater city that has gone to absolute shit.
Yeah.
And that could play a very nice horror element into it. Especially, I mean, you would have to, I think, play with the story, like, go through the actual storyline of, you know, I forgot the guy's name that you play in that one. But yeah, I think that would actually work kind of well, because you could just linear goes like that, but, like, it's just so creepy and gruesome.
I feel like the idea of that show of, like, you know, somebody tried to make a utopia underwater and chemicals got involved is enough to draw anyone in. I feel like that's enough of, like, a hook to, like, get people interested. So, like, I feel like that's a good one to, like, even if you know nothing about video games, I've never heard of a PlayStation. Like, you could be like, "Oh, that sounds interesting. I'll tune into that."
Yeah, yeah. I can see, like, the trailer for it would be so captivating, and, like, people, you know, it'd be like BioShock, and, like, the fans would, like, freak out, but everyone else would be like, "Oh yeah, I want to watch that."
Yeah, oh, that's, like, cool.
I just think it appeals to so many different audiences.
Not to mention the draw for it too would be like, just kind of like how Fallout has, like, the 1950s, 1940s music and stuff. BioShock had the exact same thing. It was like the 1940s. You got that music playing, and then you could have distort as it, like, goes under the water and stuff.
Yeah. Turns out the 50s are hot again, guys.
So, Mark, future director of of the BioShock series?
Oh, yeah. Just give me a budget of many millions of dollars.
Many millions of dollars.
Many millions.
BioShock's definitely a good answer. So many... I can think of a couple... Trying to think of what would be the best. I know Dead Space was made into an anime, and that was pretty good.
Oh, I forgot that existed. Yeah,
Dead Space would probably make a pretty good live action.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of horror, that'd certainly be one.
Yeah. I mean, selfishly, I kind of want either Final Fantasy VII, but I actually think Final Fantasy X would make a better adaptation, just in terms of just what that story is.
Yeah. I can see that.
And I had one more, but I can't think of it now. But yeah, I think Final Fantasy X or Dead Space would be a fun one.
Yeah, I was thinking about ones like that, like Chrono Trigger and all these other, maybe Earthbound, like some crazy ones. But the budget for some of these movies would be fucking insane.
Yeah.
Oh, so I only need $500 million.
Not a video game. But with Akira Toriyama, I was thinking Dragon Ball might not be a bad show. I don't think Dragon Ball Z would make a good TV show or movie. But Dragon Ball is way more down to earth.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I feel like
yeah.
Dragon Ball could make a decent show. I think Dragon Ball Z is too wild and...
Yeah, let's get that green fella.
Yeah. Well, let's not forget the gem that is that one live action Dragon Ball Z.
No, let's not talk about that.
Ooh. Hey, we did. Hey, we got the YouTube poop thing where he slides on his head. Okay, yeah. Over and over.
It's entirely
and over.
True. Yeah.
And he's just called and is the insult of school bullies call him Gigo instead of Goku. It's you know, Dragon Ball Z.
You want to run up to the writers and like, did you even try?
Many times, no. So one of the series that I was going down my Steam list trying to like you know think of ideas for this, and I found out that Mirror's Edge did have a series at some point, and it just never got taken off the ground. Like, there's even like an episode list, but I can't find out where to watch it.
I think I actually remember hearing about that.
So Mirror's Edge, if you do not know about this, it is one of the most beautiful games ever made. Even today, even though this thing was made 15 years ago or whatever, the visuals of it are fantastic, and the plot of it is just that you are on the run and you are doing parkour. That's it. So to be able to like get that done well with like you know trained the trained actors to do the parkour and all that kind of stuff would be fucking awesome. And you know you could have the thing where like the camera follows them, like they have like a drone camera or something to like follow these people running along rooftops and everything. Like it would be intense, and that I feel like that would be a very good show to get onto the screen.
Yeah, you could easily have it episodic too. Like each one takes place on each individual person.
Yeah.
And then some episodes things could go very wrong.
Yeah. You know?
Episode 1, office building. Episode 2, abandoned industrial complex.
one game I can definitely see getting adapted. It'd be like a Barbie-esque movie, but like The Sims. Just like some creative writer makes some like fourth wall breaking kind of movie about The Sims.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that happening at some point.
I did see something where apparently Margot Robbie is making a movie about The Sims.
Is she?
Oh my god.
I believe so.
What is
Margot Robbie Sims. Margot Robbie Sims movie.
Oh, yeah, they're doing a whole verse.
Yeah, Margot Robbie is producing a film adaptation of the game sensation The Sims through her production company, Lucky Chap Entertainment.
I'm prophetic. So I did not know that at all.
It's just 3 hours of people drowning
in
pools.
Popped into my head, and I was like, someone's going to make a movie about The Sims someday.
And I love how you're like, kind of like, you know, like Barbie guy, like they made that movie.
Like Barbie.
You mean like produced by the same person?
Right, right. Kate Kelly is salty of the universe.
Yep. You can go buy a lottery ticket.
Use it all up on The Sims, Cal.
Well, hopefully your luck doesn't run out like this Ice Devils did last time.
Hey.
As you guys were struggling there against this Gelugon, an Ice Devil, as it were. And the person who got the finishing blow was, of course, Nolly.
NPC.
The NPC, yeah. So, but appropriately with a natural 20. So,
She got a natural 20? Yeah. What was it, 70-something points of damage she would have done?
Oh, yeah, let me... Well, yeah, what was it?
Is it 76?
It was a lot.
Ton of damage.
It was a lot of damage, yeah.
I remember seeing on, like, 60, post one...
It was 60... 72 points of damage total.
72.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. That's a crit for you.
I remember seeing on like a post, someone was like, "As a DM, I hate it when my NPCs, even my players, really like them, get the finishing blow on these monsters." And everyone else was like, "Wait, they love the NPC? I bet they were fucking hyped."
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, get him.
That little 3-foot tank over there just. Killed Nice Devil. This shit's awesome.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
She was the one hitting it. I think pretty much the entire time.
No, she was missing. Unfortunately, like she would either roll crap and just like not enough to critically fail, obviously, but like she just couldn't get this off. And unfortunately, a sling staff has a reload, so it's not like she can just like do like you and just like you know shoot off three at a time.
But when it counted from the half court line, she sunk that bucket.
Sunk it, yeah. So this rock from the sling just crushed this ice devil's face in, and he falls to the ground into a pile of snow and ice chunks. And his body disappears because he's an ice devil. Now I need to ask you guys.
No, the loot.
Get all the loot. I need to ask you guys. What are you doing? How you feeling? Where are you sitting?
Hey, Nolly. Nice shot.
Thank you. I'm just glad you all are safe and we managed to rescue all the families here. You all rightly handled that thing.
Yeah, we totally soaked up all its shots.
Please, I think you did more than enough. And Elk is holding his sides as he is shredded. He is standing at 56 hit points right now.
Cool.
That's like half of a shot from this thing.
Yeah,
it was hit with a crit and then normal hit. I mean, shit. You did like 80 points of damage in pretty much 1.5 turns.
Were you the one I healed, or was that somebody else? I healed somebody up.
You healed me.
It's Kezra.
Yeah, Kezra up.
It's Kezra went down. I was one hit from being downed. I have like 46. Like, easily do that much damage. Elkwood is arguably 1 to 1.5 hits from being down. Mm-hmm. Like,
This was a really tough battle. Nolly, if you hadn't been there, I think we would have all died.
Well, quite frankly, if none of you were here, I can't imagine all the innocents that would have. But I can't rescue everyone. I just wouldn't be able to do it. And she kind of like, she obviously is very thankful, but she has this thing where she's just like, you know, like if you guys weren't here, like all of the innocence that would have died, all the destruction that would have happened. But
at the end of the day, we did stand toe to toe with an ice devil while everybody had to run.
Yeah.
We're just glad that everyone's safe. Oh, speaking of safe, the kites.
And like, are they just like trashed?
Some of them might have flown off, but most of them would have fell to the ground. But you guys got your kites up, and we had the kites up enough that I think the message got out.
Okay.
But what we should do is, have you ever been to the Longroads Coffee House, Grimshaw?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I'm sure you know then that is one of the major places that is a safe house there.
They have great bagels.
Oh, maybe I've said too much.
Coffee house? We don't need hipsters at a time like now.
Like,
I know you really like coffee, Nolly.
And he like, kind of like looks at her giant mug that probably is still, I don't even know if it's full or not.
Yes, it's still full and she takes a sip of it.
It's actually a pretty rare artifact that refills it immediately.
The unspilling, ever-filling coffee.
Oh my god.
Kezra,
valued by white women around the world.
See, Kezra just like plopped down in the snow because he's just still sitting in this big field of frozen ice. And he just like grabs a big hunk of ice and just like sticks it into the spear wound in his gut. He's like,
Not sure how that works.
Kezra, he's
actually dying.
Sorry, take it easy. Take it easy.
I'm like actually dying over here. And he's just like grimacing. He looks over at Grimshaw and at Benson. He's like, "We're already dealing with the Scarlet Triad. Now we have to find out what we're gonna do about the Knight Elise. We brought that guy here.
It couldn't have been the diplomats. I don't. They're trying to establish trade. You know how bad this is? Someone's trying to sabotage the relation.
Make me a religion check.
Alright. Do I go with the dice that really betrayed me last time? Do I give it a second chance?
For a knowledge check? Sure.
Yeah.
I roll one too?
Yes, you should. Yeah. Anybody who's got knowledge can make this, as you guys are discussing the existence of what just happened.
I did pretty damn well.
All right, I got a 28, so Benson probably did better.
I gotta get my sheet up, because I'm good at this. Religion.
We are playing Pathfinder.
32.
Okay, that is enough for Grimshaw. You get a regular success, Benson, and get a critical success.
Nice.
You would know from your time spent, you know, your time with Nidal, your time, you know, in the interactions with them, and also just knowing how Nidal works. You would know that it's actually unusual for an agent of the Umbral Court to call upon a devil to do their dirty work and not a Velstrak.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. They
fishy
would,
business.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because he kept talking about all those things. Yeah. The, basically, the Hellraisers or yes. the Xenobites.
Yeah. Like, because, like, yeah, the guy we were escorting, he's like, what about the Velstrak? They can bring such order here to...
These terrifying monsters.
And we were like, shut up.
Provide order.
But, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, all right, buddy, all right.
God, this guy's a nerd.
The kinky one, too.
That's the only hot thing about him.
That's not true. He was an attractive man.
I was about to say, nerds are hot. Let's set the record straight.
Nerds
okay.
are hot. There's the episode name, Nerds Are Hot.
Yes.
We're not just scratching our own back.
Nerds are hot and sad.
Oh.
So yeah, you guys are pretty confident that you do not believe that this thing was a servant of the Umbral Lord as it claimed.
Yeah.
I'll say with the critical success, John, you know that devils can be told to do anything.
Hmm.
How many do you think we could hire for us?
Well, now that you mention, I do have this ritual that I've been saving for the right time.
They teach us all those, and they're like, never do those. But it's like, why are you teaching us?
I do like the idea of you summoning, like, a bone devil and being like, go praise Iamede's name.
Yeah, you're a paladin now. Why didn't anybody think of this before? This literally works every time.
You're literally bound to do what I say. Go do it.
So after a bit of rest, Kesra goes, well, someone had to have summoned this thing, right? Maybe they're still nearby.
Hmm.
So... As you actually bring that up, Nolly, she sort of looks behind you as she's facing away, like towards the south, and you all turn to see where she's looking, and she sees what appears to be another halfling, and he's sort of like,
get him! No! It's him! Shoot him!
And a second NPC comes out if you murder the first one.
These things are everywhere.
Keep killing halflings. Till we find the one that did it.
That was my brother.
Kesra, mount them to the castle wall.
Own it.
Why are there so many halflings hanging from the walls? What the fuck?
After a pile of halfling bodies is on the ground, eventually Nolly says, look, this here is my friend Kev, and she waves him over. And you see, he's a portly halfling. He's got like a bushy blonde hair. It's sort of like if Frodo, because he had like the curly hair, it's sort of like that, but it's like blonde. So he comes over, and he's obviously like weary because of like what just happened. But he comes over, and he's just like, Nolly, just before that mayhem, I seen a fella there skulking around the far side of the hill by some of the trees. Tall human, goldish skin, full beard, and a red cloak.
No.
He had manacles hanging from his belt, which put me into the mind that he had two fistfuls of trouble. Then he did some magic, and that bug monster steps out of thin air. The man and the monster just stared at each other, but I think they were talking with their minds. Then, the bug monster popped onto the hill, raging for blood, and the man took off. Oh, I didn't see where to, Nolly. I'm really sorry about that. But I heard this monster talking like he was working for the Umbral Court, and that man sure didn't look like no knight, at least to me.
What was the name of your wizard friend from...
That doesn't sound like Malus, though. Does it?
Yeah, you said gold skin?
No, yeah, gold skin.
Oh, mm-hmm. It does not sound like Malus.
Kesra immediately sprouts wings again, and he flies up over the forest to see if he can see anything.
Nice.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, so go ahead and as you're trying to take a look, go ahead and make me a perception check.
Yeah, because it's only been like, what, 30, 40 seconds?
It hasn't been this. I mean, well, rounds. Yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit, but...
It's been a minute, almost exactly. Mm. Well, it was a minute of combat. It's probably been... Wait, did you guys rest talking. Or anything yet?
I have not technically done any healing.
Okay.
I haven't either. Oh, okay. I can't really do any.
Yeah, I would have needed a 10-minute rest.
Okay, all right.
So, okay, it's so going to have to be at least 7. But yeah, it's a big forest, right. I can fly up really high. I mean, if they're not actively trying to like teleport away, there's a chance I could see someone like strolling away through the forest.
Depends. I'm on also how not dense good at perception. Yeah.
That's a very good
point. But I rolled all right. I rolled a 28, so not too bad.
28. So as you go over the treetops and stuff like that, you can see trails and stuff. So you see where somebody might have walked. Obviously, this is like a big city, so they have nice trails. If you've ever been to, you know, but like Timmy, where you live, there's nice trails all around you. You know, so it's sort of like that, where like they have a nice trail, but you don't see anybody walking in there. Obviously, everyone sort of dipped when the ice devil popped out.
I more specifically want to find a summoning circle that would have been left behind if I can't see any movement.
Sure. So the as you go over, you do find what appears to be remnants of a creature being summoned, like just past the tree line.
Hmm.
So you sort of go up into the air and you sort of swirl around a bit, and then you see what looks like markings on the ground. I assume it's an ice devil, so probably some ice chunks have like sprouted wherever this was. And so you go down there, and you can see the remnants of the summoning circle.
All right,
what do you see up there?
I didn't find any sign of the summoner, but I found the remnants of the circle just beyond the tree lines.
All right, let's check that out real fast, and I might be able to see if there's any footprints.
Yes, you're much better at tracking. See if you can find anything to follow.
Yep.
Before we go...
Either way, I'm in pretty bad shape.
Same here.
Yeah, before we hit up the 70s circle, Grimshaw has to be like,
"Awkward, let me just have a moment to heal some of those wounds."
And he reaches out and lay on hands for 30 hit points.
Ooh, sweet, sweet.
Yeah, I'm currently tapped, unless you want to call it like a short rest or something.
Well, we did. Kelly did say that he took 10 minutes, so you would have one focus point.
Yeah,
okay. That you could spend.
Kazar, get 30 back.
All right, cool. I can work with that. It's above half, at least.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
That's like two shots away.
Come on.
If another ice double comes, I've got two rounds.
Hey, boy.
All right, so go ahead and after you make your way to where the creature was summoned, go ahead and make me a survival check.
Oh, survival.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to survival.
Boop. Pulls out a big old magnifying glass and looks at the ground.
30.
Ooh.
30. That is enough to see that a trail, you see tracks that follow from... There's a trail, well-trod surface from Kite Hill, and you can see that whatever path this guy took... it goes west to Knight Road, where it's obvious that the tracks turn south back to the city of Katarga.
Mm.
At this point, you can see that the steps turn onto the road where the trail is almost completely lost.
Well, seems like he's going back into the city.
Well, we're narrowing it down.
He's in the city, yes. Filled with... What, in the city thousands of people?
12,000 people or something.
Is it? Yeah, like, what is the population? 12,000?
I think it's like 12,000. Majority human, so it didn't help at all.
I think it's safe
so we're looking.
I think it's safe to say that we'll run into this person again. But after these two fights, I really need a rest.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
That coffee shop sounds good to me.
Nice. I see a bunch of bards in the coffee shop just writing.
I don't know, would the coffee shop be a good place if we're talking about safe house is being exposed, and we just heard it was a safe house. It's probably not a safe place to go.
Oh, so the coffee house is a safe house. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that what Nolly said?
Yeah, so Nolly, yeah, I don't know if I got to it, but so the Long Roads coffee house is a safe house for the Bellflower Network. Hmm. And because Hundy spilled the beans, you guys would know that the safe houses are not safe anymore. So that was the whole message that you guys were getting out, was the fact that the safe houses are not safe. So anybody who saw the message should get out.
They're unsafe houses.
Yeah, unsafe houses.
Unsafe houses.
So you guys would know that if you go to the coffee house, it has either been evacuated or there might be members of the Scarlet Triad there.
Right.
I mean, we could rest, get some coffee and bagels in the morning, kill some Scarlet Triad members.
I'm all for spree.
That sounds like a great.
I'm all for spree and any traps.
Yeah. We'll get to the coffee shop next morning. There'll be an ice devil in line, just waiting for a latte.
Do you happen to have any halflings behind the desk?
They're my favorite food. I mean, damn it.
Or it's just an ice devil behind the counter as a barista.
Nice.
Just making
something
ice
tells me this guy might be a plant.
But is the Frappuccino so good though?
He's just got an apron. It doesn't. It just hangs off his neck.
The ice devil does all the iced coffee, Tim. Wow.
He
just holds the cup and just shakes it a little bit. It's like, yeah, ice cold.
There you go. Iced coffee now.
You're like, I want a hot drink. I can't do that.
I just stabbed you with his giant spear. Get out!
I make one thing.
I love how this has just become the city of one things. You know, every place has one thing that they do well.
Yep.
What information?
Silver City.
What information do we have that could help us get ahead of this situation? I'm all for springing ambushes, but it seems like we're just chasing. We're chasing the Scarlet Triad. We need to get ahead of them somehow.
We're fairly blind as we sit now.
We could go to the Night of Lees if we're sure that they're not behind this attack. Perhaps the embassy has more information as to who would do this. I think that's a potential idea, rather than just continuing to blindly walk into fights and ambushes.
Yes, we need to start taking initiative instead of reacting to everything. But yes, going to the Nidalees, we could at least explain what happened. Not accuse them, but understand that there are some issues going on here.
We can also warn them that the public is going to be aware of an attack in their name, and that they need to go into damage control.
Yeah, that thing did shout.
That's right.
You know, that is a pretty good question, because this is probably just some sort of propaganda, as you say, against the Nidalees, and it's probably there just to... honestly, in some ways, I would consider stirring up public sentiments against Nidal as helpful to the Bellflower Network. But at the same instance, if Nidal is not behind this, then it could just cause unrest. Do you think we should be honest about this, or do you think that going undercover and using this as a distraction, so that way we can really, so that way we don't give away our suspicions about this being being propaganda? It's an interesting question. Do we let them think that everyone believes it was Nidal, or do we start telling the public that Nidal is not actually behind this?
Yeah, so the Bellflower Network, they were very anti-Nidal, right?
They are more or less just anti-Scarlet Triad.
Okay.
If the Night Elise thing is more of a higher government thing that they're worried about, because the obviously, like, the city and stuff like that, they want to make amends with Nidal in order to bring peace and trade and all that. But the people have their doubts because of the history of Nidal. And so Nolly is sort of asking you guys if you guys think it's worth letting the enemy think that everyone thinks that it's Nidal, you know, so sort of like a like letting them think that the trick worked? Or do you guys even think it, or do you guys think it better to keep with the truth and say that it was not actually Nidal who did this? It was made to look like that.
That I think is a tricky slope, because if we let the public believe this was Nidal for subterfuge reasons, people could get hurt.
Yes. How the rumor could go out of hand right quick, and then trying to reel that back in is troublesome.
I think it's time we start exposing the Scarlet Triad for what it is. We've long had our suspicions about their operations outside of Kandargo, but to know that it's happening here at home, I think the more we can bring into the light, the better. The public has a right to know. I always think that they're our best allies are the citizens themselves. It's the people in power. They have a vested interest in keeping their power. And sometimes they would do whatever it takes to keep it. That includes making some very unscrupulous deals. I mean, think about the lady over at Sunset Imports. She wanted to keep her business so badly. She got in deep with them. Think of how many people on the council, on the city council, could be in with the Scarlet Triad. So the more people that we can make aware that there is something deeper going on here, I think that would work to our advantage.
You know, I can definitely see what you're saying there. I think that, I think I'll use the Bellflower Network then to get the word out that somebody tried to frame Nidal, take advantage of the unrest and the skepticism of what Nidal's ideals are. You know what, the truth should start coming out. Eventually we're going to unravel the Scarlet Triad and everything that they've... every web they've woven. Weaved. I don't know what the word is. And then we'll take it right to them.
Yeah. The only question now is... is there a kite for that?
Well, sure, we got this kite here and this one.
And on it just written, like, this is framed, Nidal was framed, is that Nidal Scarlet Triad?
I need a shirt that has Tim's character, but he has to be smoking a cigarette and looking cool, going, is there a kite for that?
I still think we should consult with the Nidalese before we make any decision. Perhaps they
I was going to... suggest the same thing. I think we should go to the embassy.
Yeah, I think we go to them, and if they agree that we should dispel these rumors, then we'll use the Bellflower Network.
Okay. All right. So yeah. All right. Well, you guys are pretty much finished here. Eventually the ice melts. There's no body, so. You can't be like,
Jake, even though we just got a bunch of crazy expensive loot from the warehouse, I'm deeply offended that this devil doesn't have any loot for us.
Did he drop a giant ice spear?
He dropped a giant +1 striking long spear. Yeah. But it is not ice in any way.
Yeah, but he was enchanting it.
Yes.
False advertising, throws it in the bushes.
I mean, it's still a +1 reach weapon, so.
Still +1 striking long spear, so. This is interesting. It says, a weapon used by an ice devil gains the effect of a frost rune while the Gelugon holds it.
And returning.
Makes sense.
Did not get returning, no. But
I thought it threw its spear at one point and then it appeared back.
It threw its spear and then it teleported to its spear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, so badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it can dimension door at will.
Yep.
So
you have a +1 striking long spear. So, yeah. Anyway. You want to go to the Nidalee's embassy.
I think we want to take a nap first.
You want to take a nap first.
Yeah.
An eight-hour nap.
I'm pretty low on spells, and I'm still wounded, too. Or I'm still wounded. So I need to fully heal up. I'm really low on spells.
Just run to the crowd of people that were just traumatized by an ice devil and be like, he said the Nidalee's Empire, that's fake news. Just stay off Twitter. Yeah. Just run.
I think we can take the news to the embassy tomorrow. Because this was...
tomorrow?
I'm thinking... So. I mean...
Well, isn't it like midday?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm thinking that we at least heal up all the way. There's clerics in the city. I mean, we can
We just need a couple 10 minutes here or there. We can heal up. I'm just saying, like, if we're trying to expose the truth, we need to get ahead of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 10 minutes here and there doesn't, like, give spell slots.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we let the Nightlies know, and then we take a night, and then we go to sleep.
I'm just saying that we should heal at least maybe like once more, and then go there, tell them what's up, and then be like, "All right, we're checking out."
Yes.
All
right.
Then we can swing by the Smith shop that also has chicken pot pies.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I want a chicken pot pie now.
I know. Really, I thought of that joke. I'm like, damn, I want a chicken pot pie.
I want a chicken pot pie.
All right, so you guys, you do some healing up. I'll say you get like another 10 minute in, so you guys can do whatever heals. You guys head over to the Nightlies Embassy.
Yep.
All right, so you get there. It's not Nightlies themed because this is the embassy in the Silver City, so it looks like a building there.
It's not office space.
Yeah.
There are no spikes on that facade.
There's no barbed wire just hanging off the ceiling.
Jeez. You see Halleck inside just like, it feels too safe. Not like it. Where's the danger?
Where are the standing desks where you have to stand on nails?
He's like, hold on. I'm like, hold on. And then he throws caltrops onto the floor. Here's, how about that?
There's like a community manager with a clipboard making sure that the building is up to the community historical aesthetics.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, we want more chains and spikes. Yeah, sorry, this is a historical building.
Sorry, this is silver and ivory.
The gimp on the front lawn can't stay there.
They got the city planner on the phone being like, guys, that's not up to code. You can't do that. You can't have a spike pit in the front driveway.
And then they go, it's there for religious reasons? I mean, I guess.
I don't get paid enough for this shit.
You'll have to submit religious exemption paperwork.
submit religious exemptions for the gimp.
That's form 807B. If you spell out form 807A, it will get rejected. Okay. Elkwood, you get 30 extra points because we had another 10 mini, so I was able to pop Kazra. Another.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. I'm finally over 100 again.
There
awesome.
You go. So you guys get to the embassy, there's a young lady at the front desk, and she's just like, "Can I help you?"
Yes, we need to report a possible, what would you call it? Not a false flag attack.
We're here to see Helica.
Is Helica? The new guy, the intern.
Okay. I'm sure he told you all about us and how we escorted him from danger.
Yep. Go fill out this form. She hands you a form. It's all like,
oh god, Adelar would love this.
I know. Everywhere I go, she just see his face.
She just hands us a very sharp needle. It's like blood.
Yeah, where's the inkwell?
Grimshaw just kind of without hesitation. It looks like Grimshaw, like he does. He sticks the needle right in his arm and starts filling stuff out. It looks like he's done this before.
So the form is exactly what you think. It's like name, reason, date, time.
Yeah.
witnesses. It's just unnecessary stuff.
It's like, you probably want a fresh pen, huh?
Do we share?
Do you guys really need to know my birthday?
we look at the date and it's today.
Benson, why didn't you say anything?
I don't want to.
All right, everybody sing.
I will start smashing nuts if you start singing.
Then the Nidalee's government comes here like, oh, a birthday?
A birthday.
Yeah, the birthday whips.
Even where did all these people with Charlie's uniforms whips. Come from? Two arms to me!
happy birthday.
you can tell that I work in permitting. so the the you fill out the form. They you give it back. You spend an hour in the waiting room.
Oh, an hour?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure everyone is back up to full health because that is 6 refocusing, so that's 12 heals between Benson and I. So we're good.
So you'll touch each other for an hour.
Just doing like low key surgery in the waiting room.
Right. Yep. Just
oh my god.
Pat each other on the back.
It's okay. My bastard sword is basically a scalpel. Stay still.
Set up a little triage station.
Oh my god. Everybody else in the waiting room has like shoved themselves as far into the walls as they can, trying to stay away from these insane people.
Yeah, there's like the one table, and everybody just goes to like the farthest side in the other waiting room. So after the hour passes, Halakut comes out, and he's in his clerical robes and stuff like that. And he's got like papers, and he's just like, "Oh, hello, everyone. It's so good to see you. I didn't expect you back so soon. Sorry, I've been so busy. We never got coffee. I'm so terribly sorry. It's funny, they make me get coffee every morning and every afternoon and every night, but I have not offered to take you there once. I'm so terribly sorry about that."
"It's okay. We've actually been pretty busy. It's kind of why we're here. We wanted to tell you about an unfortunate event at Kite Hill. I don't know if news has reached here yet. We wanted to kind of get ahead of it, but you know, going through the process here to see you was a bit lengthy. Anyways, we
are we in a private room, by the way?
You're in like the foyer, so no, not yet. But
well, maybe we should go somewhere we can talk. That's a good point, Elkwood.
And do we need to like talk to your boss or something? No offense.
No, I
seems a little little like a demotion.
We want to speak to the manager.
Well, you'll have to fill out another form. You know, just follow me. He takes you guys and takes you into like the janitor's closet.
Oh, geez.
Oh man!
To my office.
Oh my gosh!
Welcome to my office. It's humble. It's humble is what it is.
Justin's armor's not going to fit in there.
No.
He can doff his armor and then we'll don it when he leaves.
That's gonna take 10 whole minutes, man.
It just reminds me of an if you've seen Better Call Saul, like when his office in the very beginning is in the back of
the nail salon.
Mm-hmm. And it's this tiny little thing. He has to keep moving the desk away from the door to allow it to open.
So you guys are sitting standing in the janitor's closet, and he's just like, "So you all seemed pretty concerned about something. Is something going on? Can I help you with anything?"
"There was an attack on Kite Hill."
"Oh no! The locals love that place. It's quite lovely with all of its colors."
"Yes, a bone devil attacked, and as it appeared,
it was a bone devil, right? Ice devil."
Ice devil.
"An ice devil attacked."
"Well, which one is it?"
It's an ice devil. It was very
nice.
I
need to know for the paperwork."
He's writing all this down. No.
"Now I've got to start over, you clumsy bastard."
Anybody else find it odd the Halak has been here for one day and he, like, knows where the locals hang out? What are you hiding?
Guys are shaking him.
He's like, "Well, this is an embassy. We have to know.
The Nidalees are up to something."
"I googled all the
trade,
fancy handouts.
We're up to trade."
"An ice devil appeared, and he claimed that it was attacking on behalf of the Umbral Court."
"Oh my word!
Obviously a bad look on you guys, but
it's also incorrect. An ice devil."
"Yes, we know you guys would use the vowel strikes, yes."
"Right, and you know all the reasons why."
"I understand how un-gauche that would be."
We also have a contact who said that they spotted the person who summoned this devil. We haven't been able to track them down yet, but we thought we'd let you know so that you can get ahead of the rumors that are inevitably going to start. This is really bad publicity for Nidal, and I know you guys are trying to seal a deal here."
Yes, this is excellent information. Having your word here that you can confirm this ice devil shivers down his spine was used for the glory of the Umbral Court and for representing Nidal, it's just not right. It's It's disgusting.
I think it's fascinating that that's the part that you're most offended by.
I think what we need to do is launch an informational campaign. I've got a draft of a pamphlet right here. Has a picture of Valstrix, and it shows how Night Doll loves Valstrix and wouldn't use an Ice Devil. I think it's the point across pretty clear.
That I made, you were not going to believe this. I made one just like it.
It's like Microsoft Word with like word art.
I feel like Banshee just looks back at Kezra and is like, I hate them both so much.
It's just him going, no, you don't understand. If we were to attack you, we would use Beltrex.
Again, I think we're getting off track here.
It wouldn't be Ice Devils.
Why? This is silly.
This was not the point of the information we're giving you.
Well, the information you provided is splendid. I can't thank you enough for once again aiding me in these trade negotiations. We will make sure to do our best to separate ourselves from this and reinforce the idea that this is just propaganda. This is here in order to put a wedge between Nidal and Kintargo once again.
I love to think that when they have their big trade agreement, he's like, guys, when we eventually kill you and steal all of your property, we're not going to use an Ice Devil.
Don't just be silly.
I hope you know that this information doesn't come free, though. We've told you in good faith, but in good faith we expect something in return.
You have already earned the favor of the Umbral Courtes, in my opinion. They asked me to come here and earn good favor, and I trust that I have, and you have earned good favor with us. You have my word from the Umbral Court that we will aid you in any way that we can.
So he does a little double speak to the rest of the group, and he's essentially asking, like, should we have him keep an eye out for, like, Malus or the Scarlet Triad, or should we keep that to ourselves?
That's a great question.
Honestly, what would be the harm in bringing up that it was assumed to be a Scarlet Triad that summoned it?
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
Because he had shackles or
stuff. Yeah.
But we also have. We're also assuming that they don't have double agents in the Night Owl Court.
Right. But maybe that's something that he could be on the lookout for.
True. I mean, he is a 12th level diplomat or something.
He is.
He is a fifth level clerk.
So 12th level diplomat is what I'm hearing.
12th level diplomat. He's good at this shit.
Yeah, he gained 7 levels in the 2 days he's been here.
All those coffee runs.
Just pinged every single time.
Like, I drink protein shakes.
Can you tell us if the embassy has any idea, a lead we could follow as to who could be behind this? I mean, someone who summoned this is obviously an experienced spellcaster. Is there any suspected enemies here in Kintargo that the embassy is aware of?
I mean, there are plenty of enemies of Nidal and the trade agreements that are being brought up here. If it is a member of the Scarlet Triad, I would wager that this was just made to further draw attention away from the Scarlet Triad and try to pin it on us. So, if a spellcaster as strong as that, I mean, maybe perhaps a gifted student at the Alabaster Academy.
That's a very, very gifted student.
Yeah, seriously.
We didn't really vet them, though. We might have cleared up that incident in front of the Academy. We didn't ever question anyone.
Yeah, we got stuff done at the Academy, correct? Someone got...
That sounds more like a professor at the Academy than an apprentice to me.
Look for the gloomy-looking man. No, it's like, well, there's a guy with golden skin, you said, so...
Maybe we could go to the Academy and... You know, that would be that'd be a pretty, pretty big physical trait to look out for.
We'll find one of those street performers that douses themselves in gold paint and pretends to be a statue.
Oh, dude, those guys are so cool.
We also have the cloak. We knew who that. We figured out who that belonged to, right? Or was it the ship back in...
It was the lady. It belonged to the lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know if she...
That belonged to Sidrani.
Sidrani. Do we know anything about her in the city? Like, where she is located, or...
We sent her back to the Rose Tavern.
The Rose Tavern.
You also knew from a critical success with a knowledge local, or society, that the her entire family are pretty much like old money from, you know, just getting rich off of trade. So she explained pretty honestly that she got just tied up with them because she thought they were just a merchant group. Turns out they were merchanting people. So they just sort of have like they just got tied up with bad stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, you make one bad decision, then you make another, and all of a sudden you're a slaver. It's crazy in this game.
how fast things can just roll downhill.
Okay, so our best lead right now is a coffee shop that we could go to see if we could stop these people.
Well, we could... If this coffee shop is compromised, and there is the idea that Scarlet Triad could be going in there... We could perhaps lead a... How about we disguise someone like your Grimshaw? You're good at disguising. Just to scout out to see if there's anything uncouth going on in there.
Yeah, I could disguise myself as a Scarlet Triad lackey.
Maybe not that. If you just walk in there as a Scarlet Triad lackey...
I could just go in as a regular citizen.
Regular citizen is better.
Alright.
Yes.
Sorry, Helic, we didn't mean for you to hear all of our boring planning, but this is how the sausage is made, as they say.
How the sausage is made? Interesting.
Have you ever had sausage?
I've had sausage. Usually we say how the blood pulls or something. It's just a difference. Different colloquialisms.
The only sausage he likes is blood sausage.
I mean,
blood sausages.
That's good sausage.
Yeah, pretty good.
There's this place in Cantargo that makes really good blood sausage.
There's this Irish place in Cantargo.
They're masons, but they also make blood sausage.
So go ahead and I want you guys to make this now. So go ahead and make me a society check as you're sort of talking Ooh. Over the how that guy looked.
The
description.
Yeah. I just rolled another rock.
Ooh, I got a pretty heavy rock myself.
Same here.
Okay. Go ahead and eliminate your totals, and I'll
30.
What was the roll?
Society. Because you got a description of the guy.
Yeah.
So then this might give you a clue as to like what he looks like, or you know, or who to look for.
32.
Ooh.
Two.
You can go to hell, Mark. I rolled a 31.
Get wrecked.
Get fucked.
Don't worry about me. I have a plus zero. I rolled a 13.
Oh, okay. Particularly the gold skin that they had talked about, and just like the description that he gave, it sounds like they're talking about a Kelishite man. Kelishites, so I just pulled up the Pathfinder Wiki, so you can look this up too. But the Kelishites are a people born of the desert of Kazmaran, specifically the Padasash Empire of Kalesh, who reflect the heat of the desert and their fieriness of their passions. They are quick to anger and to forgive, and always pride themselves on their wit and intelligence. The history of the Kelishite people is in the history of Kadira and the lands that stretch beyond into Kazmaran itself. Because near like Kadira, the gold skin is probably just from like his heritage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Funny, if you know Kyra, the Pathfinder iconic cleric of Sarenrae, she is a Kelishite.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. So they describe this guy having sort of like a goldish skin and this like big beard and stuff like that. Mm. And you're kind of like thinking about it. You're like, can Kelishites tend to have like goldish like skin tone? Nice. So you can, and Halika might say this too, since he's, you know, a diplomat, that, you know, that it sounds as though whoever it was might have been of, it sounds like whoever it was might have been of
Hellishite descent.
Doesn't really give us a useful lead, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately not. Do I know
of any, like, Kelishite professors at the Magic Academy?
Would you... No,
I did get kicked out of there, so that means I was there.
Go ahead and roll me a society, since you were there at some point.
What were you doing at the Wizard Academy?
That's a story for another time.
I got a 28.
There are many professors. You're like, kind of like it was that guy. Maybe it was that guy. No, he moved. Like, you're like, no.
But are there that many Kalashites there?
It's not necessarily that. It's just that, to narrow down to, like, one Kalashite person in, you know, in, like, all of this would just be difficult. Mm. But you now know that you're looking for what you assume to be a very powerful wizard.
Yeah.
Or spellcaster of some kind.
Yeah.
And then whoever might be a Kelishite.
All right.
If we wanted, we could start off tomorrow morning with a coffee shop, and then maybe we could scout out the grounds of the academy and see what we see.
Yes, that seems to be the right track to go. That way we can, give Kezra ability to get his spells back.
Well, the unfortunate thing is we're not necessarily a easily disguisable group.
Oh, I mean, that is true. I can at least avoid notice, and Grimshaw can at least disguise himself. But yes, stand out.
I'm very adept at stealthing. He says, lying through his teeth.
As he's painting his armor black, he's just like, yes, it's work.
All he needs is a shadow rune.
The shadow rune.
Oh, no, I'm getting the plus two.
I know.
Yeah, I'm getting the greater shadow rune. Because
that plus two wouldn't help you.
What was that?
The shadow rune. I was just joking, because that plus two wouldn't help you at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's plus two, so that's only a minus 12.
Well, I mean, this could also work, too. I mean, like, so you got two people that can... One person that can disguise, one person that can stealth. Mm-hmm. Kezra doesn't stealth, really.
Invisibility.
I can stealth whenever I want, bitch.
Yeah, Benson. But, like, the thing is, having him being noticed by himself, like, that could lead someone to maybe try following him. I'm just thinking out loud of... different ways.
Oh,
of, like,
you want to try to use me as bait, maybe?
Unintentionally as bait, like, you, like, walk by the shop and just keep moving, because, like, if they are like, oh, it's that paladin, like, and he's by himself? And try to go after you.
That's not a terrible idea.
Then we jump the shit out of him. Mug him in the alley.
But yeah, let's mug the paladin. Get him.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
five people dead, and in the alleyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like,
I've never
but
tried like to mug somebody in full plate before. This sucks.
Where do you keep your wallet?
Let's get him.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that might be a good idea too, because I mean that way it takes advantage of your noticeable presence.
That's entirely true.
Yeah. Okay. So one of you is going to be disguised. Two are going to be invisible, and then Benson will be Benson.
Yeah, but after we rest.
Yes, of course, yeah. So, all right, well, you can get your rest. You can sleep wherever you want or whatever. It is of no consequence. You guys are getting a full rest in. If you guys want to do anything in the night, that is entirely up to you, too. You let me know.
Nothing off the top of my head.
Yes, like, because I forget where you all staying, because I know Elk was staying at the... Dream House.
I mean, don't we have free room and board at the
Thorny Rose? Yeah.
And Rubens.
Yeah, yeah, Rubens. What they got at the Dream House? Hot milk?
Perfect sleep.
Hot milk and chocolate chip cookies. Lavender tea.
Damn it, now I want to go there.
Tea. Chamomile.
Chamomile tea.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, you're like, man, every once in a while I'll get that 2 a.m. craving for a Reuben, you know?
what's that that SpongeBob joke? It's like, who wants a Krabby Patty at 3 a.m.? Oh, boy, 3 a.m. Eat Reubens.
It would be really funny for Elk to go in, grab a Reuben and a beer, and then walk to the Dream House after.
Dude, all the patrons would be so jealous. It's like, right. That guy's got a Reuben.
But they like walk out, they're like, did he just steal my tanker?
Hammered Kezra would definitely wake up the chef at 3 a.m. and be like, Reuben, now.
No, don't worry, buddy, I got you. Alright, so you guys do your sleep. You get good sleep. And you wake up the next morning, meet up, continue.
Alright.
Coffee shop so, first thing.
Yeah, we're going to set up our ambush.
I'm hankering for some bagels. And by bagels, I mean the blood of my enemies.
You could also just mean bagels. Like,
I mean, maybe both.
I gotta use a good...
Have you seen the rainbow bagels? Have you seen those? They're made with like food dye, but you know it's like a rainbow bagels. They're like LGBT bagels because they make them with like every single color. It's incredible.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, it's really cool. But this one is just a bagel that looks like it has like blood splatter on it.
Ooh,
the blood of my enemy's bagel.
Blood of my enemy's bagel.
All right, so let me bring you over to the Long Roads Coffee House.
I want a cinnamon raisin.
Shut the fuck up! You'll get a everything bagel and like it.
I'll take that too.
I told you I don't know what they have today. Just write down your order, and I'll get the next best thing.
All right, so you guys go there first thing in the morning or whatever.
Oh yeah, first thing in the morning,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay,
and we're kind of, you know, not going right up to the door. We're going to hang back a little bit, and then I'm going to disguise myself as a typical Kentargian.
Okay, Kentargian. Mm-hmm. somewhere it says what the people of a certain place are called. Like it says like for Cheliax, it's like you're Trelaxian.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like I'll have to
just call them Targs. Just call them Targs.
Those Targs over there. Well, yeah, but they're in the country of Ravenel, though. So Ravenelian. I don't know. So can you guys see your tokens on the Long Roads Coffee House map?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So let me go ahead and tell you. Reading the flavor text, flavored coffee text. A short flight of stairs leads to the double doors of a handsome 2.5-story wood and stone building. The doors currently swing awkwardly loose, one of them damaged. Two broken chairs lie sprawled on the front stairs, which are smeared with what could be food or something fouler. Overturned tables are visible through the front windows. The smell of blood, cardamom, and coffee wafts down the stairs, along with the sound of muffled banging.
Oof. I think we just gotta go in and start crushing.
Yep.
I don't think there's any subterfuge left.
Yes.
Right. The door's closed, but you can open it now.
I will just do like a little like. Should we just go in guns blazing, or should I do like a, oh, hello, are you open for business?
At this point, I think it's just guns blazing.
Yeah.
I'm wafting the smell of blood of my enemies this morning.
I put an order on the app, and it's not ready yet.
a DoorDash driver walks up, he's just like, excuse me, DoorDash?
The app just says Joey's making my order, but he's been making my order for six hours.
Joey's dead.
Oh, not Joey.
You go inside, there's just a DoorDash driver down on the floor. Oh god, Joey, no. Alright, you may open up the door to the Long Roads Coffee House.
I'm gonna cast See the Unseen, which is formerly See Invisibility.
Ah, yes.
And I, just as a note, I have the Long Strider wand cast to me today.
Got it. Okay. Kel, See the Unseen, please remind me. That is more than just See Invisibility now?
You can see through illusions and find invisible creatures and spirits. They appear they appear blurred, making them concealed and difficult to identify. So, like, you can't see their features, but you can clearly see that they are there. And it's like a DC 5 flat check to hit them. But you don't have to, like, describe them to me. You just be like, there's something invisible over there.
I
guess you could just tell me its size. It can also also a +2 to disbelieve illusions.
Oh, that's a nice little bonus
and you,
there.
Okay. And you can see things that are... You can see 10 feet through objects to see spirits.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Right. And, okay, so go ahead and open up the door if you're done with your prep.
All right.
And I will read this room. This is the public dining room. Grimshaw, you know this place.
Oh, yeah.
This is... they have Rise Up Coffee. It's great.
Ooh,
good.
Local shout out.
Mm-hmm. That's good, yeah. Local shout out. Rise Up Coffee. This room is a mess of overturned tables, broken chairs, smashed dishes, and corpses.
Mm.
The sharp smell of scorched coffee and burned bread fills the air. You see what appears to be the corpses of two obvious Scarlet Triad agents on the floor amidst this mess.
Drops dogs.
They're clearly wearing the Scarlet Triad insignias. So go ahead and walk into the room and let me know what you guys want to do. This place is big, by the way. Let me just tell you the dining room itself is 90 feet by 75 feet.
Where are the ceilings?
Do what?
Ceiling height.
Something tells me your giant bird is not going to fit in here.
they unfortunately did not make it for giant birds.
Motherfucker. They're just closing off part of their clientele.
I know, right?
My bird likes chai.
Your bird's a fucking monster.
Famir's going to stand at the doorway. Try to peck in. I'm just like, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Benson is going to immediately run to any back room where he thinks a safe house entrance may be.
As you guys are walking through and making your way to the other side, is that moving tokens, damn it?
Nope. I was just trying to
pick one spot and stand there.
Disorient him.
John is moving his token back and forth. So I'm going to roll a 1d4 for one second.
Gasp.
Oh, baby, a triple.
Okay. So here's what happens, is that Benson, you hear a dog, and it sounds like it's coming from inside.
I was making a... I didn't actually think there were dogs in here when I made that reference, by the way. I was just referencing dead slavers.
And you turn around and you look behind Kezra, because he's sort of in the center of the room.
And I see a really nice golden retriever that doesn't want anything to do with us.
You see what looks like to be some kind of spectral hellhound-like thing.
What?
And its mouth snarling and it looks mean as shit. Kezra looks completely oblivious to this thing, however. And just as you are about to say... just you're about to say something to Kezra, all of a sudden, bong!
Oh, shit.
Bong! Oh, no, this thing.
As a phantom bell also goes off.
God, man, this city is just trouble.
I'm going to need everybody to roll initiative.
Let's go.
Right.
I think I made 3 rolls tonight, but they've all been absolute rocks, so...
Very nice.
I would like to argue that because we were going into a known dangerous place, I would have my shield raised.
Of course.
Yeah, when we smelled the bodies, I think we would have grabbed our shields.
Yeah.
You know. But
they're bodies, they're not active...
What's that
active combatants?
What's that deep smell of iron? They must be making blood sausage.
Yeah, right.
Wait, that's the Mason's thing.
God damn them.
Alright, Grimshaw, what'd you get?
I got a 31.
31. Then Elkwood.
So Elkwood is rolling stealth for this because he is creeping around, and he got a 38.
Whoa. Woo.
17 on the die.
Would I have a chance to roll intimidation for this?
I don't think That's so, fair. Because you were skulking out. All so right.
That was a 32. 18 on the die.
32. Wow. So sizable. Oh wait, sorry, I put that as Kezra.
Yeah, but it could have been a 38.
That's true. Kezra, what'd you get?
A 32.
You also got 32. Look at that. I accidentally put that 32 in there for you, but you got that.
It was roll really well.
Out of you, no kidding. And out of the two of you, who wants to go first?
Between me what and who?
Kezra and Benson.
I'll go first.
All right. So here is what happens. The hound that you see, it uses its first action, John, to come charging at you.
At me?
Yes.
Okay.
So it comes charging towards you, comes running across. It doesn't even try to avoid Elkwood or Kezra. It just charges directly between the two of them, and they seem completely unaware of this thing.
Yeah.
And it comes chasing at you, howling wildly, and it sounds almost like a devilish howl. Like I said, hellhound.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to make one attack as it jumps over the bar towards you, flying to the air.
Whoa.
Bring it on. Let's go.
We can't see this thing?
No. Benson is the only one who seems to acknowledge this. That is a 37
that hits.
Oh.
Come on, that's good. Let's get it.
That is 16 points of damage.
Oh, that's 14 points of damage.
So I can't even use my reaction on it, is what you're implying.
Yes, you are unaware of this thing. For the record, John, it is 3 of that is fire. You have the necklace, but you have to.
And this isn't an invisible creature or a spirit.
Nope.
What?
To devil.
Mental effect.
Okay.
This is so weird.
So here's the. Let me see.
Is it a mental effect? Kind of like that. It's
No. In fact, no. You do not see it. And when a religion check comes up, I will tell you why you don't see it. But that is a great question.
So did we hear the bong, but we can't hear or see this dog?
Exactly. So all of you heard the bong of the Phantom Bell, but only Benson is the one who's just like, "Holy shit, a hound!" And it looks like something just bit him in the neck. All right. And then the Phantom Bells go off. I need all of you to make a basic fortitude save.
All right.
Oh no. Oh. I'm scared.
Oh no.
I'm actually scared now, since Kezra probably failed.
Yeah, I did too.
I rolled a 3.
All right. You rolled a 3?
Yeah.
All right. Gosh. What's your total?
21.
21. That is a
22,
fail.
22, sorry. Okay. But still a fail.
Still a fail. So let me roll 4d6 here for you. That is 15 points of sonic damage. I'll carry that 15 to everyone else, so we'll just go around. Elkwood, what'd you get?
24.
24. That is a success, so you take half.
Wait, what? Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was a 5 on the die. Yeah. That's half of 15, so 7?
7, yeah. Grimshaw, what'd you get?
27.
27 success to critical success.
Zero.
For you. And Benson.
That was a 12 on the die for 32.
32. Okay, so success for you into a critical success. Okay.
Would Vimir have the roll, or is he kind of out of it?
Where is Vimir?
He's outside, because you said
he's directly outside. He will have to roll in.
Yeah. No, he's just hopping back and forth, being a good boy.
Sounds doesn't go through doors.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you know oak is soundproof? Come on.
Those handsome oak doors.
29, so.
29, so that is a regular success. We take 7, same as you. Okay, so after these two things get their... surprise round? You'll figure it out. let's actually get into the rounds now. Let's get into some combat. Elkwood, it's your turn.
Well, I don't see shit. I just got hit with bells. He has no idea what's going on because I think last time this was a religion check for the bells and all that, so that's useless.
I'll say you recognize the smite, the small hint of chamomile tea in the air, and you also hear what sounds like birds that are not actually there. Sounds like they're in this room, but you're looking around, and you very, very keen eyes are just like, I'm hearing birds that aren't there. There's something fucky going on.
What was in that tea?
What was in that tea?
Where's the burps? Jeez, I don't know. I would say, like, perception check. But perception check, and I don't see anything. I have no idea what to honestly do. Because I don't have any checks that would honestly help with this. Because, I mean, occultism, crap like that. I mean,
You guys knew about the phantom bells, I think.
Yeah, the phantom bells we know about, but, like, this thing, like, I guess what I look over and I see Benson's face getting
shredded. Yeah, so you saw Benson try to, like, bash something away with his shield, and then all of a sudden, you see him, like, it's like something seems to grab his neck.
Benson, what's going on over there?
It's a bad boy.
That could be any number of things. I will say,
shoot at me for fuck's sake, you're not going to hit me.
Yeah, but it's like I don't see anything though. Shit, I don't know, man. Like,
hashtag no balls.
Yeah. Fine. Shoot Benson.
Yes, this is what the people want.
Yeah, this is what people want. No. He's going to take an action to move over here and take two actions. As soon as he sees something that isn't anything, he's going to just shoot at it.
Okay. All right. Kezra, it is your turn.
Kezra, so I don't say anything. Just heard this bell. My head starts ringing in pain. Can't perceive anything right away.
Nope. Other than the bells that rocked you to your core, and then you see Benson trying to fight something off.
I wish I had been doing this as my exploration activity, but I didn't say so. I'll detect magic in a 30-foot emanation to locate within five. Locate a 5-foot square of the source of highest source of magic.
Okay. So you ping around with detect magic, and you do get pings of what appears to be some sort of necromancy, which with the phantom bell you know would be some kind of haunt. So you're getting just the sort of like ambient haunt energy with that. You also feel, and I'll give you this since the detect magic is quite good here. Under your feet, you feel two magical things, two pings that seem to be coming up.
Under my feet,
basement.
Yes.
Yeah. That are
just about under your feet,
and they're moving up.
Uh huh.
Oh gosh!
Oh shit! Dang! Shit! What do I do with that information?
Exactly.
Are they directly under me?
No. They're
under the floor.
They're under the floor, and if in your detect magic, you can tell that they're rising up.
Kezra just shouts, "Something else is coming!" And he is going to cast a shield in preparation.
All right. Benson, it's your turn.
Benson hears the bells. There is a dog physically on top of him, correct?
Yes. You feel a dog biting into you.
Here's the thing. Do I try for the religion check to pray, or do I try to attack the dog? What do you guys think?
I'd roll a knowledge on the dog, because we know what the bells are. I can potentially disarm the bells, but no one knows anything about this dog.
Yeah. And I will do a religion check on the dog.
Pray the dog away.
Inside you, there are two dogs.
One is hungry. The other one is also hungry. Go ahead and go make me a religion check.
Is a 26.
26. Let me see. Hold on. Sorry.
You could just say it's enough.
27.
20. What about a 28? I forgot about that plus +2 I got from my will.
That is a success.
Yay!
You remember the story of Barzillai Throon and his commitment to devilry. And you know that he liked to sick hellhounds on people. You feel as though this is a manifestation of the hounds he used to make go hunt, the hounds he used to have hunt people down that were defectors or working against him. You feel a great devilish evil in this hound, as you know it. This is a haunt called Barzillai's Hounds. So I'll give you this. Hellhounds are visible to all but their lone target.
Ah, okay. God damn it.
Dang.
I rolled a d4 and there you were. So,
you know what? If we're honest, this is probably one of the better outcomes.
Yeah. You would know that because this is a haunt, that you could pray to Iomide to exorcise the energies just like you did with the Phantom Bells. And I'll tell you that it will require two actions to do.
Oh, you got two actions left.
You got two actions
left.
You
happen to do that. What is that, a religion check as well?
Yes, another religion check.
Benson's been on fire tonight.
Do we know if Barzillai Throon was Kalish?
I don't know that myself.
Was he a Kalishite?
I don't know if he was Kalishite. I can find out. You know what? Let's circle back on that.
So, as this thing jumps on Benson, screams, there's confusion, but the one thing that Benson's able to pull up in front of his face is the hilt of his sword, which is tilted downwards as a cross against this being. As Benson rolled a natural 19.
Oh my god.
With a plus
god.
17. For 36 on the religion. 36.
That is a critical success against this Barzillai hound. So as you hold this up, the hound is blasted away with this holy divine.
Not only is it blasted away, Benson literally picks the thing up, slams it back to the ground, and shoves the cross that is the cross guard of his sword into it and just shoves it into the ground.
It erupts in devilish energy as the hound has been dismissed. Okay.
You're a good boy again.
Grimshaw, it is your turn.
Grimshaw knows what to do. He calls out to Milani.
Milani, free this place from the grip of Barzillai Throon.
Oh, freaking yes. It is time. Grimshaw's
rocks for the
back
holy boys.
On Milani's good side arc begins today, because that is an 18 on the die for a 36.
I'll say that as what happened last time, you exercised it again. It does cost two actions, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But you exercise it and you hear a bell crack. And as the diabolic bell comes crashing down and falls harmlessly to the ground. So you have removed the phantom bells then.
Nice.
You have one more action. You would like to do whatever you wish.
Hit the gritty.
I think I'm probably either going to hit the gritty or raise my shield. And I think I'm going to probably raise my shield because Kezra said there's two more things coming. So Grimshaw's, he's ready.
Okay. After hitting the gritty, the two the two essences come rising up from the floor.
Oh.
I am going to reveal them to you.
Jake, by the way, you said there was, like, the bodies of the triad, right, in here?
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
So, two figures come rising up out of the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to show you a picture
of
it.
No.
Oh,
that's cool.
My. This is bad.
These specters, Grimshaw, look exactly like Barzillai Thrun when he was in life.
Whoa.
I'll see you guys next time.
No.
Oh, man.
Oh. Oh, man.
God, he was a dick, but he looks cool.